Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't remember this part of the season when everything seems to be tickety-boo. In recovery from prawn salad, it appears that Tim and I, we did the honourable thing. We got it back on the straight and narrow. We showed up for a clear-headed, straightforward day of work. And I think, you know, it's different from the last one, but it's got value. The birthplace of Steve Buscemi's mystery tour, yet to be named, but the introduction of speculation about that. The podcast is finding its feet. Some lovely back and forth, a bit of data-driven information at the end there, as we're talking about where people are listening. I'd be fascinated to know if anyone on this victory lap has stuck around for the full 10 years. Hard to imagine. I assume it's only Tim and I. And even then, right now it's only me and Tim. I will say, actually, last week when we did the preamble together, it was a lot of fun. Did make me miss recording with Tim. I mean, I like having a microphone by myself. Don't get me wrong. I love to have the mic to myself. They call me a bit of a mic hog. Oink, oink. Because, I'm a pig on the mic. I'm greedy for it. I love getting in the slop and gobbling up all the airtime. In this episode, however, I'm only too happy to share it with Tim as we, enjoy some of our iconic back and forth. Not afraid to pat our own backs in this ep. 30 in, 22 to come. Happy trails.
Love every day, yeah, cause before you know it, your precious time slips away, oh, your precious time slips away.
What does it do?
Oh, your precious time slips away.
Good evening, or morning, or afternoon, whenever you're listening to The Worst Idea of All Time. I hope it's not for you. It's a podcast. I'm Tim Batt.
I'm Guy Montgomery.
And this is the podcast where myself and Guy watch Grown Ups 2 every week. And we just watched it for the 30th time. And now the credits are rolling.
That's right. They're just rolling up on the screen there.
Rolling on up.
Facing the TV. I've muted it so you can't hear the...
Still very distracting though. Still there.
So REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
They're the band that sing the... They had a couple of hits.
Yeah.
I looked up, I was on my computer this morning when I woke up and I Wikipedia'd REO Speedwagon.
Oh yeah.
They had like two number one hits. But then in the Wikipedia article it said their popularity's been waning since the 90s.
Yeah.
Just starting off with some REO Speedwagon trivia.
There's a great REO Speedwagon reference in Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Really?
Where, actually I think it might be the... Is it the Christmas special of Space Ghost when Aqua Teen Hunger Force are at night? I don't know when it is, but Carl's there and he's like, oh no, it's in a Danger Doom album.
Yeah.
And the guy who voices Carl is like on the track. He's like,
why can't you play something badass? You know, something with piano, like REO Speedwagon. Oh, really? Or something. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's amazing you remember that reference.
Yeah, it's
I
good.
Also, speaking of music.
Danger Doom. I think I might have said Danger Mouse by mistake.
Danger
I mean
Doom,
Danger
yeah.
Doom. Because he does a lot of
an
stuff.
MF Doom song. And Danger Mouse this collaboration.
Song. Yeah.
Really good album, actually.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. And it's Perfect chopped up forever. With Aqua Teen Hunger Force sound bites throughout it.
And Space Ghost as well. Quick shout out to Space Ghost yeah. Coast to Coast.
Just quickly, well, right off the top here, Tim, I've just gone on the Facebook page to kick the podcast off.
I love that Facebook page of ours.
I stumbled into a comment which I just thought was unmissable. So When I was coming back, when I landed and you posted, attention fans, planes have landed, time zones have been crossed. And now, and you posted a link to Thin Lizzy's song.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. Down, 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 down. The boys are back in town. Boom, boom, boom. Anyway, you posted it.
Guess who just got back today?
To little fanfare.
Montgomery, he's kind of gay. Apologies. There's no need for that.
Like, it's homophobic and it's meant to be insulting.
Yeah, I don't know
which
what I'm
is why
to.
It's homophobic. Anyway. Let's not distract from the fact that
it just rhymed, man. Don't read too
listener,
much into it.
A listener called Richard Smallfield wrote underneath you posting Thin Lizzy's video clip, Thin Lizzy's Live and Dangerous at the Rainbow is the best rock concert I've seen on video. Unfortunately, the video company went broke and the masters were lost. So the last I heard was that it can't currently be remastered. Lizzy is the almost only rock band I still listen to, having moved on to jazz and classical decades ago. But I still periodically return to Lizzy for a dose of Phil's inspired songwriting with uncommonly honest lyrics and great lead guitar duos, especially the classic band with Robo and Scott. Check out the CD, Live and Dangerous. Fantastic.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Just some throwaway song post
Lizzy's
that you did.
Not even in the fucking movie.
Unearthed this diehard Thin Lizzy fan who's just been looking for an avenue to rave about the band.
That is great.
So I think maybe for Richard Smallfield, in between this podcast and the next one, we'll sit down and we'll listen to Live and Dangerous by Thin Lizzy, the concert album, and we'll give you just a little review.
We'll review that.
We'll review that.
We're not
for
music
you.
Reviewers, but we'll do it. Because you told us to.
We're not film reviewers either.
Nope.
Anyway, so we have just watched the film for the 30th time. Mm. Tim, what was that like for you?
Do you know what? For the first time today, this is the first time this has ever happened, I started to think about when this podcast will end because we're after the halfway point. And I was like, maybe it'll be sad when it's over.
You did ask. You said, will I be sad when it ends? And I said, it won't end. Threateningly.
Well, because I think you were referring to the play which we will write after we finish the podcast, right?
Yeah, or the show, the stage show.
Yeah, it's not really a play.
It won't be a play.
No.
A play implies a level of sort of coherence and cohesiveness which we'll probably sidestep.
Hey, I'd also just like to give a quick shout out and thanks and appreciation to everyone who has texted me or gotten in touch about last episode. It was a doozy. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It was a real rip snorter. I mean, Tim and I obviously had struck a very rich vein of form with regards to amusing one another and ourselves.
And it was late at night, you know, bewitching hour.
We'd
things
just,
get a bit
we'd
silly.
We just watched the Warriors lose to the Penrith Panthers, convincingly actually, and in doing so sort of eliminated their chance of making the top eight of the NRL this year.
Of course, as you remember, the Warriors had to draw, win or lose by less than 2 points
That's
to make
correct.
It through. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that we made a lot of half points in that podcast that we didn't really return to or flesh out in any kind of depth because, we were giggling
it
too much.
It was the nature of the beast, wasn't it? It was a fast-paced society, the world of podcasting.
But this week we've written down some notes to try and recapture some of those moments because there were some bloody good ideas that were coming out.
And first things first, I think the biggest balls over the whole podcast, other than the whole thing, was... there was a line that Chris Rock said, which was just completely nonsensical.
Mm.
And we tried to rehash it for you and spit it out, but obviously in the time between Chris Rock saying the movie on screen and us recording the podcast, it just got jumbled up with all the other fantastic memories we were generating.
It was about an hour in real time and about 4 or 5 days in the sort of zone that the guy and I were in.
That's correct. And accordingly, we missed it. So the line was... What are you scared of, man? You're the rope from the... What are you scared of, man? You're the rope from the tree, triple flip bird crush guy. And I've just written in parenthesis next to that. What is this?
Yeah, because it's so this is when Kevin James is going to jump off Suicide 35, and which is a cliff onto some water, and he's kind of trying to back out of it, and Chris Rock's like
encouraging him, like he's brave and he's done exactly. He's done this thing before.
But what does that mean?
There's a rope swing hanging from a tree, and what has happened is that at some point in their time living in the town and growing up, Kevin James was swinging on the rope swing, did a triple flip off the rope from the tree, and landed on a bird of some description, I suppose, for he crushed it.
Do you think that it's possible that this happened in the first Grown Ups movie? And he's referencing.
I was actually talking about this with someone the other day. We were in a car, and they were asking about something to do with the podcast. And the idea occurred to me that maybe, and not seeing Grown Ups, maybe Grown Ups 2 is the most perfectly written and executed film, and every single joke and line in it is a well-executed callback to something that was set up in Grown Ups, and we've just completely dropped the ball and it's gone over all of our heads.
I can't believe that for a second. I can't.
But what Someone if it was? How us. Embarrassing would that people, be for us? We'd have air all over our face.
There are people
We'd
who,
be the laughing stock of Hollywood, Tim.
What do you think we are now, man? No one takes us seriously. No one's looked at a single screenplay that we've put across their desk because they've heard about the podcast first. They're like, Tim and Guy, aren't that those guys who tried to take down Adam Sandler? I'm not reading their thing.
We're not trying to take down Adam Sandler.
No, that's my whole point. That's what people think we are.
You're really paranoid about this. Tim turned to me today in the middle of the movie and said, I'm really worried about what if Adam Sandler finds out about us.
Yeah, I was in that moment.
I think your ego is making you paranoid. What sort of ego do you have that you think Adam Sandler will stumble into this, or if he did, actually care?
I don't know, man. It was a thought in the moment. It's gone now.
It's gone now.
My fear has been allayed by the loveliness of time and its calming, soothing rhythm.
Time. They say time heals all wounds.
They do say that, but that's a fucking lie.
I really like some cliches. You know, there's like a point in your life sometimes when you have like an epiphany or a moment of realization, and then you, in your head, you're formulating what's happened and you're formulating how you feel about it and the thought. And then eventually you stumble into a cliche which perfectly encapsulates the discovery you've made.
Mm.
And you're like, that's why that was there all along.
So do you have an example of this? Do you have like a favorite cliche which has come up useful lately?
No, but we could just use time heals all wounds, which
yep,
I just
that
did.
Works.
But first big heartbreak, and then you get over it, and you're like, oh wow, I guess all it took was, you know, just a bit of distance between the event and me and the other person involved. And I mean, I guess that the real common factor here is that it's been a while, and time sort of has time. Whoa!
And then you, your second huge relationship ends, and you go, "Wow, the first cut is the deepest."
Oh, you got it! Oh my god,
I'm on board, man.
We're such a good teammate.
Now, the saying, the pot calling the kettle black, that doesn't really count as a cliche, does it?
I think it's an instance of the pot calling the kettle black.
Do you know what I found out about that saying recently, bro?
What?
Is that the whole point of that saying originally was that the kettle is reflective. So it's the kettle is no wait, how does it work? It's the pot is calling the kettle black, but the pot is just seeing its own reflection because pots used to be black and kettles were shiny.
Oh wow.
So the pot was only seeing itself. So it means something.
It's
quite
like you're
different.
Projecting your shortcomings onto someone else.
Exactly. You nailed it. That was a very succinct explanation of what I was trying to get across. So, thank God you're here.
It's an instance of the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
Well, it's an instance of the pot calling the kettle a kettle, really, isn't it?
Well, it's more like the pot calling the kettle a pot, if you think about it.
Yeah. We have fun. We have such fun.
Now, listen, we've got a bunch of segments we need to rip into. Our regular checkpoints, our benchmarks, our flag masts.
Now, I don't know if you're interested in this, Tim. I'll float the concept to you live on air.
Please.
And you can either yay it or nay it. I'll give you the power of veto.
Great.
We've got two regular segments so far. We've got The Shining Light.
Yes.
And we've got
Paddy Schwartz, party time. Paddy Schwartz, party time.
Party time.
Where's with that one more, huh?
Anyway, I thought we could also add to this. Oh, we've got a live tweet coming through here from Natasha Hoyland, who's saying, really love the art direction in this photo.
Okay.
Anyway, that's nothing all there. The segment is, I haven't named it yet, but it's pretty much, we guess what happened to Steve Buscemi in the first Grown Ups film that has led to his injury, his very specific injury and ailment that he discusses in Grown Ups 2.
Yeah.
So in Grown Ups 2, Steve Buscemi, Chris Rock says, hey.
Hey, Wiley. How
are you going? And he says, oh, you know, just 14 months of this. And he puts his arms up in the air like he's like
a touchdown.
Like he's signaling a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I've only got 40% feeling in my body.
70%.
40%.
Is it?
I wrote it down.
Oh, okay, cool.
What could possibly have happened to Steve Buscemi to lead to these two symptoms?
Yeah, because that's he's obviously suffered some nerve damage in the first movie.
How did it happen?
So
I want you to speculate right now.
Cool. Here it comes. First of all, we've got to name the segment though.
No, we'll do it afterwards. Go.
Okay. Steve Buscemi has been struck in the back and has sustained some injury to his spinal cord. That has led to his hands needing to be in a specific kind of cast into a touchdown formation. Because if they move around too much, some vertebrae will knock out of where they need to be.
So
the doctors maybe have had to reinsert some vertebrae. They got fucked up, disconnected.
What has struck him on the back to cause this injury?
So I think it was a tackle from behind.
He got blindsided.
Yes.
Oh wow!
But not from the side.
And who did
from
it?
From the back.
How did it happen? What was this circumstances surrounding this tackle?
Well, if I had to guess, I'd say McKenzie was behind this.
So Chris Rock has just out of nowhere tackled Steve Buscemi from behind, causing some sort of permanent nerve damage and crushing a few vertebrae.
Yes.
And now the first time since that incident, they've seen each other, and Chris Rock has just completely blown over the whole incident, never apologized, and he's just said, hey, Wiley, how you feeling?
He's picking at that scab. He's not, he knows how Wiley's feeling.
You'd think he wouldn't want to sabotage his son's chance of passing his driving test quite so aggressively.
Such is the pursuit of jokes that every leading man in this film has. Oh, we mentioned it before, Kevin James, just making fun at his family to their faces.
I know. And
with no one there to enjoy it. Same thing with Chris Rock, man. He's there just making jokes for himself at the expense of people around him. You know, and his son's future driving license.
Maybe it's also that bit's also a testament from the film to all civil servants. Or is if you're doing driving tests, are you a civil servant?
No. What, if you're the DMV?
If you're the judge of driving tests.
The judge.
Yeah.
The judge of driving tests. God, how good would it be if they had to wear a powdered wig?
Yeah, they had to dress up like a proper judge.
Shit, that'd be good. You should start a driver's company like that.
Driving lessons. Driving.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Lessons from people in character.
Yeah.
So whoever the instructor just has to do it in character. It's not a bad little business model. It could be a cheeky little earner on the site.
I think it's not the worst idea of all time. Hey,
watch out. We are burning the joint up this week.
God damn it, is this slang. This is killing the floorboards.
All right, so there's pretty good speculation over Steve Buscemi. Do you want to name the segment now?
I don't have a name for it.
The Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour.
Yes. I love that song by the Beatles so much.
Magical Mystery Tour.
Magical Mystery Tour, yeah.
Yeah.
The Magical Mystery Tour is coming to take you away.
Very sing-songy episode we're doing.
Some would say too much.
Coming to take you away.
It's such a good song, though.
Okay. What else have I got to talk about here? Well, you wanted specifically to talk about Tim Meadows' catchphrase.
Yeah.
What?
So we've talked about it before, but not for a while, not for a good many dozen or so episodes.
Just moved to bring it up once more.
Yeah, I just want to really highlight the absurdity of it because, I don't know, it wouldn't look good on a script and it doesn't look good in the movie. It doesn't sound good out
loud. How do you think
loud.
It was written in the script? W-H-A-A-A-A.
Yeah.
And A.
Then, yeah.
Five A's, more A's, less A's.
Yeah,
A's.
Sure. There's more A's than there is usually in what? People get it.
How many A's, though? Just put a number on it.
I'd say probably more than five, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Eight, nine.
It goes, what? How many A's is that?
I would call what you just did eight or nine.
In my mind, it's like 12.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. I think Tim Meadows riffed that, and then all his family had to...
That was an ad lib.
Well, no, sorry, rift is the wrong word. Rift is the wrong... I think he brought that in. I think he had some creative input.
That was his reading. So it just... Yeah, it was regular what?
It was written for him. Adam Sandler had been hanging out with him and he was like, you know, it's a great catchphrase that I've been working on for a while. What's that, Tim Meadows, SNL superstar? It's just the word what, but you elongate the vowel sound. Yeah. So, if I may. So you chuck an insult my way. Okay. Well, let's make your character bald. But does that make any sense? Because they're all like 40-year-old guys. That'd be the norm. No. Just run with it for a second. Let's say your character's bald, Tim. Okay, Adam. That's cool. Okay. He's bald. So, hey, Malcolm, is that the knife the Indians used to half scalp you? Tim Meadows, I don't even get that. What? That's how that exchange would go.
I get it. I like, because you, I like that in the world of the world that you created just then for that little role play. You made it first person, so it was Tim Meadows pitching it to Adam Sandler, and then by the end of it, it devolved into Tim Meadows referencing himself in third person while he tried to pass off his catchphrase.
Yeah, there was a third person narrator there.
What?
I really need to commit to my narrative more.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I've been getting a lot of emails from listeners to him saying, Guy, you need to pull Tim aside and tell him to commit to his narrative. He's being a fucking wuss about it.
Did you have a shining light today?
Yep.
Please.
It was in a party scene when it's revealed that Kevin James, Kim, I believe her name is, not Kevin James, Chris Rock's daughter can sing. Greg Fader, Adam Sandler's son, accidentally knocks out the electric mains, which takes out all of the audio at the party.
And guess what, folks? There's one exception.
Charlotte McKenzie, Chris Rock's daughter, can sing really well. Mm. And she sings a song, and then while she's singing, she's got a beautiful voice. There's shots of the crowd all sort of turning to look at her. And one woman, a middle-aged extra, commits to this facial adjustment beautifully. So she goes through the motions from surprised, mm-hmm. sort of, to interested, mm-hmm. to impressed. Mm. She's one of about 4 to 5 faces on screen,
mm.
and they've got about 3 seconds mm. to use their face to communicate that feeling.
This woman is Meryl Streep.
This woman is the Meryl Streep of that feeling.
That's awesome.
She,
man.
Meryl Streep the shit out of it.
Shit, well, I tell you what, I don't know who you're talking about, but I'm going to look out for that sassy lass.
I can't wait to share it with you. And what was your showing like, Tim?
Well, funnily enough, it's an extra as well, and at the party scene, and also female, so on a similar wavelength, Guy. It's the bit where Maya Rudolph says, Bump D, if you don't shut up, I'm going to knock mohawk into a chin
shut
strap.
Shut your mouth before I bump that mohawk into a chin strap.
And then they all go, what?
What?
That catchphrase is at the start of the movie. It's in the middle. It's at the end. They really are trying to make it a thing.
It's one piece of glue tying this whole... It's God, the skeleton around which they built this Frankenstein.
Just that terrible singular word catchphrase. It's monosyllabic as well. That's the like, you can't make a catchphrase out of one monosyllabic word.
How would you do it? What?
That would be funny if it was that guy in the, you know, that character they use in the Simpsons sometimes.
What?
I had a stroke.
Why do you talk like that? I had a stroke. No.
So.
No.
In closing.
Yes. Mr. Costigan, something most amazing has happened.
You have got that guy's number. It was dead on. So in closing, my shining light is there is an extra on the left of screen who's just behind them. And she just nails the timing of when to laugh at that joke or at that threat. If there's one thing that's funny in this movie, it's the threatening of kids. And there's a lot of threats to kids in it. And that extra recognises that and gets the pace dead on.
I quite agree.
The pace on your face.
Running in a close second for my shining light this week. Actually, it was more just a detail which I got very excited about. Was the director Dennis Dugan, we've discussed it earlier. He makes a cameo in the film as an alcoholic doctor at the clinic who hasn't slept in over 68 hours.
He says that out loud. So he's like, yeah, he says at that time, so, at that point in time.
He says that after preceding it with telling Adam Sandler that Jack Daniels is his cure for anger problems.
Yeah.
Then he drinks from a hip flask in his surgery.
Mm.
And then...
I haven't slept in 68 hours.
That's right. And what happens next, Tim?
So then... Well, what do you mean, like when we next see him? Okay, I'll take us there. So when we next see the doctor, which is Guy and I have done the math on this, about 4.5 hours later,
in the world of the film,
he's at the Fader's house and he's dressed as Billy Idol. There's no way the dude's been to sleep because it isn't even really suggested that he's leaving the clinic in such a hurry. Then let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that the Faders are his last group of patients for the day.
Okay, it was around four, I believe, four p.m. when
four-ish, maybe a little after. I also think
the medical board would have something to say about one of their doctors still like working.
Mm.
Despite having not slept for 6 hours. I'd say, isn't there like a union or something? There's got to be something to look out for that.
Some of the socks.
I mean, they've got stricter rules around cab driving than that.
It'll be like that association that Subway keeps quoting all the time, the Doctors Association. Surely they've got something to say about this. Sandwiches and people
isn't
not
that great?
Sleeping enough.
You can
enough.
Just take out a name like Doctors Association and then just tag it on all of your products.
So
like,
good.
It's approved by Doctors Association. What's the Doctors Association?
It's a company we made.
It's a company we made.
So... the doctor, Dennis Dugan, the director, is then at the party dressed as Billy Idol.
Just getting hammered on beer.
Getting on it.
With the police force. This guy is a one-stop, one-man party machine.
He's a one-stop, non-stop party machine.
One-man, no-man's land party animal. Who probably spent, I'd say, about 2 hours between leaving his surgery and going to the Faders Bash, getting his fucking spot-on Billy Idol costume
together. Looks dead on. So at this point, he has been up for a minimum of 3 days and three nights. And he does... There's no signs of him slowing down.
Necking beer.
God. So he's become a bit of a patron saint in the realm of the movie. Because, like, there's a ginger woman who's feeding a beer bong to a dog who claims... The dog is an animal. The doctor is the animal.
The doctor is the real party animal. Well, actually, there's two. I guess you could say there are two party animals at this party.
Who's the first?
Well, the first one's the dog.
Oh. I thought you were going to introduce another. Okay. That's all right.
The dog and the doctor.
I gotcha. That's cool. Of course, we're missing another segment, and the time's running out, guys. So are you ready to rip into 2, 3?
Paddy Schwartz, party time. Paddy Schwartz, party time. Party time.
Hey, why have we done the sting twice?
Because we sang it before just for fun.
Oh, okay, cool. So, what is our Paddy Schwartz party time? For those of you who are first time listeners to the podcast, Patrick Schwarzenegger is Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, and he's in the movie.
He's cast as one of the frat boys.
Yeah.
I'd say when his agent sent him the script, the role said featured extra, and then in parenthesis, one line. Featured frat boy, parenthesis, one line.
And then Arnie got involved and was like, I'm not going to try and do an Arnie.
No,
my son needs a minimum of half a dozen lines.
No, my son needs
my son needs a minimum of half a dozen lines.
That was a good...
Occasionally. Yeah. Like every second word.
And at the end of the sentence, you really nailed
lines.
It.
Lines.
That's good.
Lines.
That's how Arnie would say it.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah, we got it. That's a surefire way to kill an impression, eh? If you got to say the name of the person who you're imitating.
Just for clarity, I do not know where I'm from.
Anyway, so Patrick Schwarzenegger, he doesn't get much time on screen, but what he does get, he works really hard with. It's comparable to last week's podcast in that it is what he lacks in raw talent and execution, he makes up for in blind enthusiasm. And mine this week was actually, I'd say...
Ours. This is a joint thing.
Yeah, I know. But I'm choosing it this
week. Yeah, you are.
I've chosen it. It's at least... So when Taylor Lautner, they're exchanging insults, the frat boys and the old boys, and Taylor Lautner says, at least we're not stuck in some lame-ass town hanging up drywall for the rest of our lives. Patty Schwartz, just to the side of camera, loves this line. To Patty Schwartz, this is the biggest possible insult you could... His mouth is agape, open mouth, muted laugh. Obviously, to Patrick Schwarzenegger, the idea of hanging up drywall for a living is the biggest insult that you could possibly bestow on anyone. That is the worst possible outcome in life, is to be stuck in some lame-ass town hanging up drywall for a living.
I'd be okay doing that as a profession. For a while, for a few years. And I think you'd earn pretty good money doing it in New Zealand. We've got a trade shortage here.
And that was...
Patty Schwartz, party time. Patty Schwartz, party time. Party time.
Excuse me. So that's where we're at. What I'd like to do on this episode, Guy, if I may.
I think this has been a really positive episode, by the way.
It's good to hear. I'm glad.
You know, I don't think we've moaned once.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good.
Cheers, bud.
That's great. Here's to you, eh? A little fist bump. Bring up the page that has all of the countries that are listening to our podcast, because I found out that on our podcast website thing, I don't know what the word is.
Do you want to start from lowest to highest?
It can tell you all of the countries that people who are listening in them are. So I'd like to close out today with a little shout out to all of you guys.
Are we going
to
do it to all of the countries?
How many countries can there possibly be, Guy?
Good question.
Let's start at the top.
Over 50.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I've gone real specific.
Wait, are these cities?
We're in cities now.
How did you do that?
I got no idea.
Well, we want countries.
Should we shout out the top 10 cities?
Do it.
All right. In descending order. How do you do 10?
We'll do it on our fingers.
Well, I don't know, but...
We'll do it on our fingers.
We'll have to go from the top because I can't count.
Hit it.
I wish they'd numbered them down the left side. That's
Shout out to Auckland, New Zealand.
Wellington, New Zealand.
Canterbury, New Zealand.
London, City of London, United Kingdom.
California, United States.
Victoria, Australia.
Pennsylvania. What? This is really high up the list. Sorry.
But it's like in New Zealand, there's cities, and in other places, there are provinces and states.
Well, there are provinces here too. We just see Canterbury instead of Christchurch.
Definitely got to give a big shout out to Ile-de-France in France.
I would like to say a healthy hello to Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
We're straying from the top 10 now, folks. We're cherry picking. Is Nova Scotia in there? Because I tell you what, if we start getting big in Nova Scotia, I'm quitting my job.
Why do you love Nova Scotia so much?
It would just mean a lot to me if we got big in Nova Scotia. It'd mean a lot to me personally.
Okay.
If anyone knows anyone in Nova Scotia, if you can start spreading the word of the podcast, that'd be super.
All right, Tim.
Super
we're
going
to
awesome.
Shout out the top 20 countries that we've been listening to.
Oh God! Okay, and then we're rapping.
Fuck! This is a here week, we go. This is a weekend into a strong podcast.
Here we go.
From the bottom.
From the bottom.
You lead.
Okay. I'd like to say hola to Brazil.
I'd like to speak in the native tongue of Malaysia.
I would like to beam out a congratulatory handshake to Thailand.
I would like to knock on Norway.
I would like to broadcast some positive energy to Morocco.
I'd like to big ups Belgium.
Here's me saying howdy do to Namibia.
I'd like to rack up the Republic of Korea.
I would enjoy very much meeting Denmark.
I would love to sing a song for Sweden.
Guess who's getting a blowy? The Netherlands.
I would like to come round to Germany's house with a bottle of red wine and a tray of chocolates and just sit down for a dinner. I'll bring fresh guacamole too.
Hey, I'm thinking of throwing a barbecue. Was wondering if you're free. Ireland.
Hey, bonjour, France. I want to kiss you on your mouth.
It sounds a little bit sexier than it is, but this next category is simply on the website titled Other Regions. Hello to you.
Hello to you, Other Regions, and a big hello to everyone listening in Canada.
Specifically Nova Scotia. I would like to say...
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate, and tie the kangaroo down to me old cobblers in Aussie.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you come in there. I was too busy being in America.
Hello, United Kingdom. All the best with Scotland.
Hello, United Kingdom.
Hope it goes well for you.
Currently including Scotland. Maybe that will change.
Tentative.
In the future. And, of course, to all of our friends and family and listeners in New Zealand.
Kia ora and good evening. I've been Tim Batt.
I've been Guy Montgomery.
Live every moment. Love every day, yeah. Cause before you know it, your precious time slips away.
Your precious time slips away.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.